Okay, we'll start on Yud Chet Amud Aleph. There, about five lines down, the Gemara says Gufa. This is what we discussed yesterday. Amar Rava, Zar she'achal min olah lifnei zrika, Zar, someone who is not a Kohen, who eats from an olah, gets and beats it not only outside of the klaim, not only outside the azara, but chutz lechomat Yerushalayim. Rabbi Shimon lokeh chamesh. It gets five sets of malkuyot. Yesterday we saw there's a three-way machloket about how to explain the Gemara. According to the first answer in Tosos and Rashi, when we say that there's five malkiot over here, it doesn't literally mean malkiot, it means isurim. Really, we don't take it literally. According to the Ri, when the end says that it's literal, it means that you really do get five malkiot, according to Rabbi Shimon. So where it says, V'lilkeinami mishum, bizar lo yuchal kikodeshem. What about the pasuk? We have an additional pasuk that should give us another lav here, which is that any zar cannot eat it or not partake of it. This is by the Miluim. Should not partake of it. Ki kodesh heim. So Gemara says, no, that only applies, that pasuk that's found in Shmolot only applies when it's hani mileicha dechazi lekohen. That's only when it's good for the kohen. I mean, if the kohen could eat it, then there's a restriction against the Israel or the zar from partaking in it. But if the kohen can't eat from it, then there's no restriction on the Israel. Because, and we're going to see this in a second, the Gemara is going to bring it up, but it says, Ve'achlu otam asher kupar bahem. Those that, right, eat it, asher kupar bahem is the Kohanim. Lamalei etedem lekadesh otam, because it's for the Miluim. Then, v'zar lo yochal ki kodeshem. Then the Zar will not eat it. So when it's Vachlu Tam Asher Kupar Behem, then it's Bizar Lo Yochal Kodeshem. But here, Olah, the Kohanim can't even eat it at all. They don't participate either.
Right.
If nobody can eat it, correct. There is no such thing as a Zar. Everybody's a Zar. Right. In that sense, but what you're saying is correct. Zar is all a relative term. Right. So you can't be a Zar if nobody else is able to participate. Sumer says, what about the pasuk basar b'sadeh treifa lo tochelu? And this we quoted. That's the source for the, as Rashi points out. You can see it in the Rashi over here. The Rashi pointed out. But that's the source for eating outside of the klaim. Anybody eats kochi kochim outside of the walls of the azara, that they get malkot comes from basar b'sadeh treifa lo tochelu. So when it says, Kevin shiyatza basar chutz demichitzato nesar. So that's as soon as it leaves the place where it can be eaten, which would be inside the Azara, then it becomes asur. And therefore there should be a lav consuming this olah outside of the Azara, because it's outside of its mechitzot. When it says, wait a minute, you can only have outside your mechitzot if there is a possibility of eating it inside the mechitzot. That's only if the possibility of consuming it inside of the Azara, then you could say when it leaves the Azara, then it's basar basadeh treifa lo techedo. The word basadeh is extraneous in the pasuk. It just said basar treifa lo techedo. Basadeh means anything outside of its perimeter, outside of its bounds. So like one of the other items that we learned from here is a ubar that sticks its arm out when you're shechting the mother. So since it's outside the mother, that arm is not nitar with the shechita. So anything that's outside of its bounds is covered by this basar b'sadeh treifa lo techedo. The other issur is this, taking a korban kodshei kodashim outside of the klaim, outside of the walls of the azara. But that's only true when you could eat it inside. Over here, it's no lie inside, you can't eat it inside, so saying that it went outside of its mechitzot has no relevance when it comes to eating. Where it says, V'lukunami kud Rabbi Eliezer. Well, let's give a malkot for what Rabbi Eliezer says. The Amar Rabbi Eliezer, lo yuchal ki kodesh heim. Teaches you, kol shibit kodesh pasul ba katub litain lo tasei achilato. Anything that becomes pasul b'kodesh, there's a lo tasei from consuming it. So over here also, why isn't there a lo tasei? Here you're consuming an olah. Why shouldn't that be? Also, you should be chayav malkiot for that. So it says, "Hani mila eched de kodem psulo chazi." You can all talk about something that's kosher be kodesh pasul. Something in kodesh that became pasul. That the assumption is that it was mutar or it was okay. Everything was fine, and then it became pasul. But if it's always pasul, right? Then how can you retain lo tase alechilato? Because it was never roi liachila. It's never roi le'achila, then you can't talk about having a lotase that comes in because it's kosher b'kodesh pasul. It was never mutar. It was always a sur. If it's always a sur, that's not kosher b'kodesh pasul. Therefore, the lav of lo, right, yochal ki kodeshim, will not apply over here. Tosu says, wait, why do I need even that? Why do I need that answer? That's a lav shibachalot. That's a lav shibachalot. And lav shibachalot, you don't get malkot on. So why is the Gemara quoting over here a lav shibachalot? So he says, according to Rashi, and according to the first pshat I gave in Tosus yesterday, that we're talking about Isurim here, that's not a problem. Because all we're trying to do, we're not really giving malkot. When the Gemara says lilke, it doesn't mean literally lilke, but it means another Isur. So you want to add another Isur. Lav shibachalot is an Isur. Even though you can't get malkot for it, but it's still an Isur. But according to the Ri, who says you really, we're talking about lilke over here, getting malkot means really getting malkot, then what about this? It's a lav shibachalot. So Tosus says, in Ochadami, it is a lav shibachalot. They had a better answer. But if they have that answer, they could have answered lav shibachalot, and that's why they didn't get malkot. But their answer is better, which is, ani milecha de kodem psulo chazi. Acha kodem psulo nami lo chazi. But it says, lilke nami ki idoch de Rabbi Eliezer. Why don't we give a malkot like the other issue that Rabbi Eliezer brings up? The tiny Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kol shehu bikalil tiyeh, right? So anything, any requirement, any item in Kodesh that has a requirement of kalil tiyeh, then there's litein lotase achilato. There's a lotase on its eating. Because it says kalil tiyeh, which means that it shouldn't be eaten. So the inference from kalil tiyeh means that it should be totally consumed on the mizbeach, not eaten. So therefore, you would get malkot over here for eating something that should have otherwise been on the mizbeach. Where it says, ein hocha nami. That's right, you're right. For that, you would have gotten a malkiot here. Rava said five. This would make it six. Why do we include this one? So Rava mahai krokomar. Rava says, I would give him five malkiot from that posuk. Right, the posuk, lo tuchal le'chol bisharecha, that has all the different items. And then from that one posuk, Rabbi Shimon teaches me, I could get five malkiot. But not in the case here, where we're adding it from a separate pasuk, from an outside pasuk there, that's not what he was speaking about. Amar of Gidol Amarav, Kohen she'achal mechatat v'asham lifnei zrikah loke. Kohen that eats from a chatat or an asham before zrikat adam, he gets malkot. My time, what's the reason? What's the lav? Amar kra. V'achlu otam asher kupar bahem. So we just quoted this, the pasuk. V'achlu otam asher kupar bahem. And then, achar kapara in, lifnei kapara lo. So what does that mean? It means, vachlu otam asher kupar bahem. Those that are entitled to eat it, or that are going to create the kapara, or going to get the kapara, they eat it. But that's only the achar kapara. And what is the kapara premised on? We know that the Gemara says in other places that it's zrikat adam. Zrikat adam is what gives you the kapara. So it only can be, achlu otam asher kupar bahem. If there's kapara, you can eat. No kapara, no eating. That's where you get the lav from. If you eat it before zrikat adam, no kapara, you can't eat it. Where it says, and lav, habal michlala say, lav hu. This contradicts almost every other place in Jas where we say that a lav habal michlala say is in a sehu. Here the Gemara has an havamina, which is not accepted in the end. We'll see it's not accepted in the conclusion. But it's amazing that the Gemara has such a havamina, which is that a lav habal michlala say is a lav. It's a restriction. That's what you have over here. It says, "V'achlu otam asher kupar bahem." Those that are getting kapara eat, meaning after zrikat dam eat, and you're inferring from that before zrikat dam don't eat. So that inference comes out of an asay of "V'achlu otam asher kupar bahem," and nevertheless, we're calling it a lav. We're calling it an isur lav. So, Meitiv Rava challenged this. V'chol behema mafreset parsav shosat shesha shtei perasot malat geira behema tochelu. So this is by the list of kosher animals in Parshat Re'eh. And in Parshat Re'eh it says that you're allowed to eat Ota Tochelu. It gives you a list of numbers that are that Ota Tochelu. Well, if that was the case, what would you say Ota Tochelu? If that means there's a command to eat these kosher animals, that implies that you should not eat the others. If you're already inferring from another asay, Bachlu Otam Shekubu Behem, that you get a lot asay, then B'chol Be'ma also, it says, Ota tochelu should also create a isolav. Ota tochelu vein behema acheret tochelu. You can eat them, but other behemot you may not eat. You say ein ochanami. You're right. There is a lav from this. But if you say that etzel lo tochlu, the next pasuk begins etzel lo tochlu. So how could you talk about it being a lav that's inferred from the essay when the beginning of the next pasuk is Ezeh lo tochlu, and you can't eat these? Because it has, right, it says, Malaika Rebbe Imao ta tochelu, and then Achetzeh lo tochlu mi malaya gera. Why do you need that? So Ela e, it's mar hachid mar. If you want to say something, this is what you say. Amarav gid amarav, zar shochal bechatar v'asham bifnei zrika, patur. They eat before zrika dam, they're patur. My time all. Damakar bachlu otam asher kupar behem. That those that are getting kapara eat them. Kol echad kreenim bei bachlu otam asher kupar behem. Kreenim bei v'zar lo yochal kodesh. The girsa was zar lo yochal ki kodesh heim. Right, which is one possibility is v'zar lo yochal ki kodesh heim. Or the other possibility is it's v'zar lo yochal kodesh. The psukim are actually found, it depends which pasuk. The v'zar lo yochal ki kodesh heim is actually the pasuk that's found in Shmot, right, in the, by the Miluim, which is the end of that pasuk. V'chlo otam asher kupar behem. The end of that pasuk was v'zar lo yochal ki kodesh heim. The pasuk that the Gemara is quoting over here, which is probably not the girsa, v'zar lo yochal ki kodesh hu, is actually a pasuk that's found in Parshat Emor. Over there in Parshat Emor, we just learned, we actually learned the Gemara, that beginning of that Parshat is Ish Ish Mizer Aron, right? So that Ish Ish Mizer Aron is talking about Shuma, the restriction against eating Shuma. So over there it says, Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh is talking about the Truma, the issue is Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh is talking about Truma and not Kochim. So that's why it's the wrong gear. So Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh, but it should rather be Zar Lo Yochal Ki Kodesh Heim, which is the end of the pasuk of Bachlu Otam Asher Kupar Behem in Shmot Perek Chavtet. So based on that, the Gemara says, okay, now I learned that a Zar who eats from Chatat and Hashem Lifnei Zrika is Patur, because nobody's allowed to eat it. Since there's no Achlu Otam Asher Kupar Behem, then there's no Zar Lo Yochal Ki Kodesh Heim. The two are connected. So you amended it. Before we said that Amar Gidom Rav says even a Kohen who eats before Zrika would be Loke. Now we amended it. It says even a Zar who eats before Zrika Adam will not get Malkot because of this Hekesh between Bachlu Otam Asher Kupar Behem and Lo Yuchal Ki Kodesh Heim.
But what about the
law
for
Nabi
before Zrika
to be there is a Lav which is... Lo tochlu al adam. Right, it comes from lo tochlu al adam. You're not allowed to eat before zrikat adam. That's a lav shebchalot, and you won't get malkut on that. So Amar Lozem Rabbi Ushaya, bikurim anocha me'akevet behem, kriya einu me'akevet behem. When you bring bikurim up to the mikdash, you have to do two things with them. One, you have to read the parsha of Arami Oved Avi, and the other thing is that you have to actually place them. V'nicho lifnei mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. You have to place them by the mizbeach. So Rabbi Ushaya says that hanocha, the placing them by the mizbeach is me'akev. Me'akev meaning that zarim are not chayav yet for eating them, and kohanim are not permitted to eat them until you do the hanacha. But kriya ain't a me'akev behem. But when it comes to reading the parasha of Arami Oved Avi, that's not me'akev with regards to bringing the bikurim to the mikdash. Umi amar Rav Elazar hachi. Did Rav Elazar really say this? Va'amar Rav Elazar amar Rav Hoshaya ifrish bikurim kodem lechag. Va'avar lehem achag yirkevu. So if you took out, you separated out of Bikurim before Chag HaSukkot, but you didn't bring them up to the Mikdash till after Chag HaSukkot, your kavu, they rot, my love. Why? Because now you can't read Parshat Bikurim, because you're only allowed to read, when you bring the Bikurim up between Shavuot and Sukkot, you bring them up to Mikdash and you read Parshat Arami Oved Avi. You're allowed to bring Bikurim up until the point of Chanukah. But between Sukkot and Chanukah, there is no Kriya on the Bikurim. When you separated out these Bikurim, they were at a period of time when you could have read Mikra Bikurim, but you showed them up. You only brought them up to the Mikdash at a period of time when you could not read Parshat Bikurim. So that's what he says. Since it was Nidche because of this, because you have to eat kavu, they get a rot. You can't do anything with them. So if that's the case, what do you see from this statement of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Ushaya? That second statement says that Kriya is me'akevet. Otherwise, why can't you bring them after Sukkot? Must be that Kriya is me'akevet. So now you have a stira. If Kriya is me'akevet, why do you have to rot? Just bring them up without a Kriya. Kid Rabbi Zeira. No, we can solve this problem. Dama Rabbi Zeira, kol aroi lebila, ein bila me'akevet bo. So this is a din by menachot. The din by menachot is that if you bring a large mincha, the maximum size of a mincha that you can bring is 60 isaron. If you say, I'm going to bring 61 isaron, then you have to bring it as two menachot. You have to bring one of 60 and then one of one Yisroon. Why? Because Rabbi Zera says if you get up to 61 Yisroon, Yisroon, you can no longer mix it. It's too hard to mix it. It doesn't mix well. So Gemara says, well, what about 59 and 60? 59 and 60 don't mix so well. So the Gemara says, no. By 59 and 60, there's a possibility of mixing them. Since the possibility of mixing them exists, that mixing is not ma'akev. But if there's never a possibility it can be mixed, like at 61, where it'll never ever be mixed properly, then the mixing is ma'akev. I mean, you have to have the ability or potential to do it in order for it not to be ma'akev. If you don't have the potential to do it, then it is ma'akev. So same thing over here. It's not roi for bila, bila ma'akev. It's also in our case. In our case over here, what are we going to say? If you bring up Bikurim between Shavuot and Sukkot, and you don't read Arami Ovid Avi, no problem. Why? Because you had the ability to read Arami Ovid Avi. Since you had the potential to read it, you just chose not to read it, then it's not ma'akev. The problem here is that he separated out these fruits before Sukkot and then brings them up after Sukkot. Why can't he read Parshat HaBikurim anymore? Why can't he read Arami Ovid Avi? Not because he doesn't want to, not because of any choice that he's making or anybody's making. The answer is he can't read it because you're not allowed to read anymore. You're not allowed to read it anymore, that means that it's ma'akev. Since you don't have the potential to read the Arami Ovid Avi, and these fruits were taken at a time where you could have read, and they require reading, either you got to bring them up in a time where there's a potential to read, even if you don't read, or you have to bring them up and read. And over here, you can't read, and that's the failure over here. So that's not the stira. How we reconcile the stira between Beloveds and Marabashoya is that generally, Kriya is not Ma'akevet. In a case where you should have Kriya, and you're not allowed to do Kriya, that will be Ma'akev. Rabbah Bar Yaakov Mani Lo, Kid Rabbah Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Instead of writing Amar Rabbah Lazar, Amar Rabbah Hoshaya, that about Bikurim, Hanacha Ma'akevet, and Kriya Enem Ma'akevet, his statement, Rabbi Achav Yaakov read, Amar Rab Asi, Amar Rab Yochanan, and then they said, Hanacha is Ma'akev, Kriya is not Ma'akev. Bekashalei Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Yochanan, now we have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan, why? Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bikurim, Hanacha Ma'akevet, Behem, Kriya Enem Ma'akevet, did Rabbi Yochanan really make such a statement, that Hanacha is Ma'akev, Kriya is not Ma'akev? Vaha boy mine rabasi Rabbi Yochanan Basi asked Rabbi Yochanan a question. Bikurim meimatayim mutarim lekohanim. From what point in time can the kohanim eat the bikurim? Bamadayin answered, Aruyim lekriya mishakaralehim. If they need to have the parsha read, then they're only mutar lekohanim after reading. Shein rayim lekriya, those that are brought up after Sukkot that don't have kriya associated with them, misharu pnei abayit. Once they have to come in, they come into the mikdash. So what do you see from this? You see that kriya is me'akevet. He says the kohanim can't eat until you are korei on the bikurim. So it is me'akevet. How could he make a statement before? Anacha me'akevet, kriya lo me'akevet. We have a stira. The Gemara says kasha kriya kriya. We have a stira and kriya and kriya for Rabbi Yochanan. But we also have kasha anocha anocha. And anocha we also have a, in the case before Rabbi Yochanan says anocha me'akevet. In this price over here, Rabbi Yochanan says, Hanocha, you don't need. Just ra'al p'nei abayit. That's enough. It says, Kriya, Kriya, lo kasha. Kriya, Kriya, no kasha. Why? Ha, Rabbi Shimon, ha, Rabbanon. Depends if you're holding like Rabbi Shimon or the Rabbanon. According to Rabbi Shimon, Kriya is ma'akevet. And that's why Rabbi Shimon, remember, on yesterday's daf has malkut for eating bikurim lifnei. Right? The Kriya. If you eat bikurim before the Kriya, you get malkut. Because that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Whereas the Rabbanon believe, Kriya is not ma'akevet, Hanocha is ma'akevet. So Rabbi Yochanan is speaking either in the shame of Rabbi Shimon or the shame of the Rabbanan. In the shame of Rabbi Shimon, he's going to say Kriya is Me'akevet. Name of the Rabbanan, he's going to say Kriya ain't a Me'akevet. Hanoch, 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 and the other is not a question. Why? Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbanan. That's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. The Gemara says, my Rabbi Yehuda. Who's this Rabbi Yehuda that you're quoting over here? The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Vinachto. It says by Parshat Bikurim, Bata, Inei Veiti Ed Rishit Pri Adama, Asher Natata Li Hashem, Vinachto Lifnei Hashem Elkecha. Place it down before Hashem, Yishtachavita Lifnei Hashem Elkecha, and you bow down. So that Vinachto comes to tell me, Tnufa, that you require, Tnufa, you require a waving of the Bikurim. Ata, Omer, Zut Tnufa, Oin Ola Nacha. When it says, does it mean a wave offering? Does it mean just placing it down? Anacha mamash. Shomer, it says in the beginning of the Parsha Bikurim, V'lakach ha'gleitena me'yadecha v'inichol lifnei mizbach Hashem lokecha. Inichol harei anacha amur. We already know that you have to place it down. So what's the second anacha and achto coming to teach you? Amani mekeim v'inachto, zu tnufa. That comes to teach you, you need to have a wave offering, you need to do a wave offering on this. So now, the Gemara says, Uman tono de poligalei de Rabbi Yehuda. Who argues Rabbi Yehuda? So Gemara says it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovi. It argues on him. Why? Titania of Lakacha Kohen Atena Miyadecha. Kohen takes the basket out of your hands. So Ma Limeid ala Bikurim Shatuinim Tnufa. That's why they need, now we know Bikurim need a wave offering. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer ben Kirakov. So that's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says you need a Tnufa. Just like we said, you need Tnufa, you need a wave offering. But he derives it from a different Pasuk. He derives it from the Pasuk of Lakacha Kohen Atena Miyadecha. Whereas we learned it out before from the Rabbi Yehuda's learning out from the word Lakachto. So he's learning out from Yinachto. So my time with the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What's the reason he met Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Atu Yad Yad Mishlamim. He says, Lakacha Kohen Atena Miyadecha. It's learned out of Xerushava or the Hekesh of Yad Yad between Bikurim and Shlamim. Over there, Ktiv Alchav Lakacha Kohen Atena Miyadecha. By Bikurim, it says he takes the basket out of your hands. Uchtiv Yadav Tivienu et Ishe Hashem. That his hands will bring the Yishe Hashem, meaning that they're Shlomim. Makan Kohen, Aflan Kohen. Just like over there, it's a Kohen, so to over here, it's a Kohen. Malahal and Balim, also by the Shlomim, there's Balim, also over here, Afkan Balim. Okay, it said, how do you do that? How do you do a wave offering with the Balim and the Kohen? Meniach Kohen Yadav Tachad Yidei Balim. He puts his hands under the hands of the Balim. Umenif, and he does a wave offering. So now, two quick things to note over here. One is that this Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was arguing on Rabbi Yehuda, well, they both say you need tnufa, and they both don't say that, or at least Rabbi Yehuda, who was arguing, Rabbi Yehuda says that hanacha is not me'akevet. How do I know hanacha is not me'akevet? Because I have the word in the Parsha of Bikurim twice. It says, v'inichol lifnei mizbach Hashem lokecha. It says again, v'inachto lifnei Hashem lokecha. And we know that shana la katuf, whenever the pasuk repeats something, that's le'akev. It's a mitzvah le'akev. So over here, since it repeated the word hinicho twice, that's la'akev, that you must do anacha in order to be yotzei. But Rabbi Yehuda uses one of those words of anacha. He uses v'inachto to teach you tnufa. If that's the case, how many times is anacha written according to Rabbi Yehuda? Only once. Only once, it's not going to be me'akev. So that's what the Mara suggesting over here the machlokes. When they said anacha, anacha is lokasha. Here is Kan Rabbi Yehuda, right? Kan Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says hanacha is not me'akevet, and the Chachamim say hanacha is me'akevet. And since it is me'akevet, then that's the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that hanacha is me'akevet. Statement of Rabbi Yochanan says hanacha is not me'akevet. That is according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that we don't have two times. We don't have a double word of anacha in Parshat Bikurim because I'm using one of them for tnufa, so therefore I don't have the problem of anacha me'akevet because I don't have a limud for anacha me'akevet. This is one interesting question. He said two interesting questions. One is, number one, how do I know that kriya is me'akevet? The word kriya is only, there's no kriya I found once. You only have to bring it up once and you have to say before Hashem Elokecha. It says, Vato kein asher b'imahim v'amarte ilav. You say it once, that's the only thing. The other Amira, there's no second word of Amira. So how do you know it's Me'akev? If you need it to be repeated twice to be Me'akev, Amira is only once. So Tosis brings down the name of the Mashiach, who's the Rabbeinu Peretz. Tirats, Tirats, the Lokasha, the Agam Rabbi Shimon Laita Kriya, Me'akevet, Ilo Mishum, the Goli Kra, Melo Tuchal Echo B'Sherecha. So right, and nobody holds. Kriya is only Me'akevet according to Rabbi Shimon because he has an extra pasuk. Without that pasuk, he would agree that kriya is not me'akevet. So that enochanami, the answer is enochanami. Kriya is not me'akevet over here. And those that hold kriya is me'akevet, it doesn't come from the double lashon of amira because there is none, but it comes from another pasuk. Lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha. We saw yesterday in yesterday's daf, Rabbi Shimon learned it out. They had a list of items they learned out from lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha. One of those items, remember from the pasuk yesterday, which is Masar Dan Chav Tirosh Chavit Zerecha B'chor Rot B'chachav Etzonecha B'chol Nederecha Shedidor Benit Votecha U'Trumat Yadecha Neidash and Trumat Yadecha Ilu Hein HaBikurim. So that's it, including the pasuk over there. Now, the Rashi over here says, then the Gemara comes along and says, who's the Baal Plukto of Rabbi Yehuda? It's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Because he learns out the Tnufa from Lakacha Kohen Tena Miyadecha. So therefore, he has open or available to him the word anachto twice. Since he has it open to him twice, then he has the ability to say that anocha is me'akevet. As Tosfos asks a question, he says, "Vekasha." It's really according. It seems to be a sifri over here. It says, "Ben v'inicho, ben v'nachto, mari b'tznufa." According to one who says that anacha, inicho, anachto, they're both talking about tznufa. Mucha from there that you need two tznufot. Inicho v'nachto. If that's the case, then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov needs a second pasuk for tznufa. So even if he learns out one of them from lakacha to chayina tenem yadecha, he still needs one of the hinachtos to teach you about the second tznufa that you need to do. If that's the case, then he doesn't have it being ma'akev. So Tosfos Zayin Achanami, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does not think that hanacha is ma'akevet. Why is he quoted here as the Baal Plukta to Rabbi Yehuda? He's just quoted here to show you there's someone who learns out tznufa from a different location. That's what it means. But who is the Baal Plukta to Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanakama of Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, that Mishnah, that Tanakama is the one who says it's Ma'akev. But not that it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov who says it. That's Rashi says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no tznufa from Inachto, Inachto is Ma'akev because they have two of them. So this comes along and says, wait a minute, we need two sources for tznufa because they're two tznufot. One of them could be from Lakach HaKonei HaTenem Yadecha, but you need a second one, and that one will come from Inachto. Once you do that, it's not Ma'akev. So it can't be that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the plug that we're looking for over here, but rather he argues on him on this point of Inachto, whether it means tznufa or not, but otherwise does not believe that Hanacha is Ma'akev, and that's why we have to use the Tanakhama review to say who's arguing over here. Right now, Gemara says, "Amar Rava, Amar Adam, Rav Yisrael, Bikurim, Meimatai, Michayvin Aleim." From one point in time, are you chayav on them? What does it mean, chayav on them? Rashi says, "Mita, mitat zar ochlam, mita bitei shemayim." That's given to someone who is not a kohen who eats them. Tosa says, not only is it for the zar, but it's also for a kohen. For a malkot, if he eats it outside the Chumat Yerushalayim, he gets malkot. So at what point do they become bikurim that you're chayav on them? Mishiru pnei abayit. Once they see the mikdash. Come on, who's that like? Ki'aitana. This is not a tanya. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Bikurim, Miksatan, Bechutz, Miksatan, Bifnim. Part of them are inside the wall, and part of them are outside the wall. Then we say that the wall divides. So, Shibachutz, Ariyan Ke, Chulin, the Chodivrayim. Anything that's found outside the wall is a din of Chulin. Shibifnim, anything inside Yerushalayim, Ariyan Ke, Hekdesh, the Chodivrayim. It's the din of Hekdesh, it's like the din of Maaser Sheni when you bring the Bikurim in. So once you bring the Bikurim in, it crosses, once you cross over that threshold, anything outside that threshold is Chulin. Everything over that threshold is classified as Bikurim. So you see from here that the determining factor is not the Hanacha or the Kriya, but rather the entering into the city. When you see the Beit HaMikdash, when you reach some sort of crossing over threshold to see the Beit HaMikdash, we'll stop over here.